give a warm welcome to our 10-minute speaker, Vinny.
Thank you.
Speak English.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Vinny.
Vinny.
Thank God for waking me up, and this is definitely an honor to be here, to share my story. Hopefully it might help somebody. And the reason why I say I'm an alcoholic first and then my name is Vinny is because the God that I have, I think he knows me better than I know myself. And he knew I was an alcoholic before I knew I was an alcoholic. And the main reason why we're here is we're alcoholics. If that's important to me, because for so long I denied the fact that I had a problem. And what got me here was pain, nothing else. Fear and pain. And going back, looking back now, because I got such a clear view and a clear vision that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me, for a long time I was lost. And I had no hope. And even today, standing up here, I still look for that hope when I have those days, those moments, those times. And I get it here. I get it in AA. I was born and raised in the Bronx. And I had a lot of trauma events. Bronx, New York. And I guess it sounds like that. But anyway, I had a lot of trauma in my life in the past, and at a young age, I didn't know how to deal with that kind of stuff, so I always looked for a way to deal with it, and my way of dealing with it was beating up people. The anger was inside, and it had to come out, and I was a pretty rough kid, and really, I was just a scared little boy, but I didn't want anybody to see that, so I put this show on, this different face to scare people away from me because I didn't want them to know how scared I really was. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. And I was lonely. And I did that for many years. And it started getting, I was getting picked on by bullies. And I was scared. I didn't know what to do. You know, I remember telling my dad it was kindergarten and he said, just go to school, hit him in the mouth. Hit him directly in the mouth and ask, don't say nothing. Don't even talk about it. Don't tell him what you're doing. Just hit him. So I was like, well, I was scared to death to do that. So I went to school the next day, and sure enough, the kid was bullying me around, and I did it. And I got his attention pretty good. I like to say it worked, but I know there's other alternatives today. But and that's how once I realized the reaction I got, I kind of like was absorbed by that, and I seen that it worked. So that was it. That was it. If you got too close and you upset me or you scared me or you made me mad, I was going to hit you. And 9 out of 10 times it worked. And I did that pretty often. And time went on, and that's how I handled myself. And my parents were planning this big move to speed things up. I was about 15 years old, and we decided to move to Orange County, which is Hudson Valley. So about an hour north of the city, and they told me that it was all up to me. I was the youngest, 2 older brothers and the oldest sister, and they were all coming up except my older brother. And they said it was up to me to make that decision. 15 years old, that's a pretty big decision to make. And I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I said, yeah, no problem, when I really wanted to say no. And that's a lot. That happened a lot through my time of growing up. I always said yes when I really wanted to say no. So we moved to Orange County, and I was a new kid on the block. I dressed weird. I sounded weird. I looked weird. So I beat up all of them. Got suspended. Left school, and started to do this thing on my own. At the age of 16, 17, I was living with other people, moved out of my house, told my mother and father I could do this on my own, and I was back within about 8 months. But they let me try it. But now that I came back in, my mother said, get a job. So I got a job. And started making some money and doing that. And then I got involved with girls, and I got involved with some other dry goods. And I really started picking up alcohol because those people I hung out with, they were all doing that, and that's what was important, and that was what was fun, and that was the escape. So this whole move thing, instead of talking about it and feeling those emotions, I can get drunk and I don't have to feel it. And I remember my first drunk, I was drinking 3 Schaefer's, and I was shotgunning them. And I shotgunned each 3 of them, and I was like, wow, this is a ride. I like this. And then I got sick and I puked. But I forgot about the pukeness and the sickness real fast. I remembered that feeling that I got. And I was able to talk to the girls. I was able to dance. I was able to do all kinds of stuff. So I was like, this is awesome. So now I'm planning on, Mom, I got to go. Matt's having a party, or Michael's doing this, or, you know, just to get out of the house, to get away for the weekend. And it worked. And now I started making time to get drunk as often as I could. And it was always to escape the feelings and the thoughts. Speed things up. I started going to bars, doing the same old thing. A good time to me was going to a bar, picking up a new woman, getting to a fight, and getting drunk. That was a beautiful night out. That's what my plan was. So this continued on, and then the most strangest thing happened. I'm in another relationship, and the same thing's happening again. She's ready to leave me, and I realized that it was me this time. I said, it couldn't have been all these girls. I started to look within myself, and I didn't like it. It was scary. And I said, man, it's me. And she left. I couch surfed about a year and a half. I started reading these spiritual books, trying to, because I was feeling the void. I felt the void. I felt that emptiness that everybody feels. And I didn't know what to do. And I was doing it on my own still, but I was looking for books. People were suggesting these nice books, so I started reading these books. So I couch surfed. I was living on my sister's couch for a while, and things were starting to slowly get better. I developed this thing called anxiety and panic disorder. And I would be just falling down and pass out, wake up a couple minutes later and not know what happened. And I went to a couple emergency rooms because now I'm doing this clean. I just stopped drinking. I stopped doing anything. And I hit some kind of bottom. I didn't know what it was. It was pretty scary. And started going to ambulance rides to the hospital, thinking I'm dying with a heart attack and yada, yada, yada. So going to doctors and therapists and seeking all that kind of help seemed to work temporarily. And started to feel a little better. And once I started to feel a little better, I thought I was better. So I started drinking again and started hanging out, doing the same thing again. And more pain. Got into another relationship, and she was about to leave. And this time, my brother, who is also in AA, he called me up one day. I was at my girlfriend's house, and I needed a ride. I was going to be up at the bus station. I need to go to the hospital. I have a problem. So I picked him up, and I didn't recognize him. He was about 60 pounds lighter. He looked 10 to 15 years older. And he was addicted to heroin. And I bring him to the hospital, and I started telling him about these spiritual books I was reading. And he said, wow, this is awesome. He goes, there's something here. You know, and I would visit him when he was in rehab. And I got to say, you know, on the spiritual plane, I felt I was better than my brother. I felt I was higher, and I felt I was more, I don't know, in touch with life better than he was. You know, because he lost everything. I didn't lose everything. And he was living on the streets. So I was comparing myself to him. I'm like, he needs this. I don't. And I remember within like, I don't know, I think it was like 3 months, this guy changed from eating out of garbage cans, living on a street, shooting up. He had his own place. He was visiting his kids. He had a smile on his face. He was happy. And I just wanted that, man. I was pissed. I was jealous. But I didn't want to do what he did to get it because I didn't think I needed to do that. So on the way of doing things my own way again, more pain. And then one day I was driving to work, and my brother asked me to get a job for a friend of his, and I started driving this guy back and forth to work, and I'm spilling my guts to this guy. I don't even know him. He's 6'4", 240 pounds, and he's looking at me, and he's crying with me on the ride to work. He's listening to me. He's really paying attention to everything I got to say. And I started talking to this guy, you know, for a couple of weeks now. And then one day, 3 o'clock in the morning, I was coming home from work, and that was it. I was ready to get drunk. You know, at this time, I stopped for like 6 months on my own. And in that 6 months, I was throwing my girlfriend around. I was doing a lot of crazy stuff. And It was pretty wrong. It was pretty bad. I felt really horrible about myself. And I just asked this guy, I don't know what to do. I called this guy up, and he goes, well, Vin, I'm a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. I can help you if you want. What do you want to do about this? I said, I'll do whatever it takes. And that was it. That was my prayer to God. I'll do whatever it takes. And from that point on, I started my journey. He told me to come over to his house. We talked. He says, make meetings. Get a home group. Find somewhere where you're comfortable. I want you to call me at least once a day. Let's get to know each other a little bit more. Did that. I called him about 3 or 4 times a day. Then it turned about 10 times a day. And I realized how insufficient I was. I was not self-sufficient at all. And it was scary. I went into meetings. I sat in the back. I didn't say a word. I was scared. But then I started building up some confidence. And things started to feel a little bit better. And I started to speak. And people understood what I was saying. They were laughing. They were agreeing with me. And my girlfriend at this time, she decided to stay with me. And she was pissed that I was going to these meetings. But 3 months later, she started making me coffee and saying, don't be late, honey. And I'm like, she must be cheating on me. And she just seen something in me that I didn't see in myself. And that bell's annoying, but I know. Time's up. But anyway, the beginning of my journey was all about doing whatever it took. Doing the work. I did the steps. I got a sponsor. I went on commitments. And I started to talk to other people and try to give this away the best way I know how. And I'm sorry I'm out of time, but next time I'll do a better job. God bless.